Our first guest today?
We're here with Chaz Levy and Howard Crouch, who are...
I believe they're married.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Am I correct in that?
They're nodding yes.
Yeah.
To hear about their endeavor to open the old Ackerman's appliance store on Upper Warren Street.
A big change.
As the
big
Hudson
change.
Anchor. And so... tell us what this is all about. Oh, let me just say first that a couple of things came out in the news recently, and one was that the Hudson Valley Association has said that it cannot open the food store they were going to open in a Galvan store called...
On 5th and Warren.
On 5th and Warren, yes, yes. And then a story about the fact that you two have gotten all your permits from the planning board, the Hudson Preservation Commission. Sorry, and so it seemed the right time to have you come in. So
take it away.
Chaz, take it away. Tell us what your plans are. This is Howard about to speak.
Thank you for having us today. The business will be known as Hudson Anchor, but our working title at the moment is Snackerman's.
I thought that was just a bit of graffiti. But it does say Snackerman's, in case you haven't noticed. And you're probably too short to see up that high, Ellen. But it has a SN in front of the old Ackerman's.
I see.
Pretty clever.
Yes, very clever.
Yeah, we'd like to keep that on there because it makes us laugh. And it is going to be a food marketplace, so Snackerman's works.
Three floors, correct?
Yes. You know, basically what happened was that Howard and I have been residents of Red Hook for 28 years. And
Red Hook, Dutchess County.
County, yes, that's correct. And my family has been in Stattsburg for 50 years. So we're very familiar with the Hudson Valley. And we would come to Hudson over the course of those years to visit our good friends Nick and Carrie Haddad. And Howard actually helped.
Do you know them, Ellen?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Howard actually helped Carrie open the first Carrie Haddad gallery,
right.
I think like 23 years ago or whatever. And I would always kind of lament and say, why doesn't this town have a grocery store? You know, this seems crazy to me. And I would actually tell Nick that he should shut down Hudson Electric because that building is such a lovely building and kind of has that market kind of farm feeling. Ironically, when we bought Ackerman's, they moved into Nick's building. We bought the building in 2010 or 11?
February of 2012.
Oh, thank you. See, time flies. And our intention was to follow through on what I thought the town really needed. And in the last 2 years, we've really been doing a lot of work talking to the community, talking to farmers. We're going to have a free farm market in the building.
What does that mean by free farm market?
That the farmers don't have to pay.
Oh, that's free.
That's free. They will have to represent two farmers a day will have to be there to manage the stand, which will be inclusive for everyone. All the farmers will have whatever goods they want to sell. We did that also, one, because we care about our farmers, but also one of the things that we are concerned about in terms of these new food markets is that they can become very elitist. And we wanted to make sure that everyone who lives in Hudson can afford to be at that market. So we really, are very conscious of that, and are trying to find ways so that the retail prices will, you know, reflect that. The other thing that we're doing is, the market will consist of some anchor tenants. Right now we are in negotiations with Bonfilio, who's our neighbor, mm-hmm. to move in and to actually have a restaurant. We're also in negotiation. We're speaking with two butchers pretty seriously. So the market will definitely have a butcher. We'd like to also have, you know, some kind of a deli takeout area for people to be able to come and get their lunches. And we will have a juice bar that's already in place. And another feature that goes back to the financial piece of the town is that we're going to have a lot of pop-ups. Because we know how important it is to for second and third sources of income to be. So if, as long as everything is, I'm going to use the word kosher, but you know what I mean, in terms mm-hmm. of prepared in a healthy way, if the farmer's wife wants to sell her fabulous applesauce and, you know, over the week or that will be totally available. That will be a calendar that I run, and people will sign up for it. We already have some interest to have certain companies that will do like a weekly pop-up, like to have fresh fish come in every Friday. And that vendor will have that day and, you know, to be able to sell fish. But we don't have everything written in stone because we want to see what the community, you know, comes to us with. And as long as it's food, or farm related. I mean, I could see us selling, you know, wool on the second floor to knitters, but we really want to keep it regional.
What would be in the there's three floors?
There's
one subterranean?
Yes, one.
And what would that be for?
What's interesting is that once you start spending money, and we spent a lot of money in the basement, we had a little bit of a setback on Howard's Better with dates, but in was it New Year's Eve or Christmas Eve?
Well, just to give a little background about the building, it was originally built in 1921 as the Hudson City Crescent Garage. And that flourished during the Roaring Twenties, during Prohibition, for about 8 years. They were doing coachwork on Packard automobiles that were being assembled outside of town in a larger factory. So, you know, for about 10 years, it was a real going concern in terms of the Packard automobile. After that, after the crash, there was a succession of car dealerships, different businesses throughout the building, and, of course, Ackerman's Appliances had it since the mid-'80s until we purchased the building. And over that time, there were definite structural deficiencies that had to be addressed, like most of the buildings here in Hudson. They're all built on clay. They all settle. They all like to move towards the river. We've fixed all those issues and spent most of last year actually in the basement because it is a large 5,000 square foot space. And to answer Tom's question, there will be some extension of the businesses above in terms of prep kitchens in the basement, but there also will be retail space down there as well.
So the is it 5,000 each floor? It's all uniform in terms of each.
Yes.
And the restaurant and the main food things will be on the street level floor.
Right. The first floor will have pretty much what Bonfilio has now. So mm-hmm. They're going to expand. So they'll have a fabulous espresso. So you can still come and get you know, your coffee and breakfast in the morning. And what we've done in terms of the floor plan is that access to Bonfilio during the day will be through the center market door, which is the entrance on 8th Street. And then in the evening, when Bonfilio is open for dinner, they'll have their own entrance door, also on 8th Street, but closer to Warren. So during the day, it's a large open space. And then at night, it just shuts. There are doors that shut down.
Everything will be to the ceiling, each separate?
Yes.
Entity will have. No.
The room stays open. The only wall that will be coming down is the wall that separates Bonfilio in the evening.
All right.
It's really a gate. And we're doing a large central staircase that is access to all three floors. Mm-hmm. And that back part of that will also be a wall because it's good for retail for, mm-hmm. for those, whatever vendor takes that spot will have, you know, good shelving. But it was very important to Howard and I that it's a beautiful building and we want people to come in and feel the volume, but most importantly, to see everything. So, you know, no vendors will have, you know, anything over, we haven't quite decided, but let's say at least 5 feet so that when you come in, you can spot and there'll be signage so you can find who you're looking for.
A little bit like the Philadelphia Market?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm interested in your decision to be to have the main entrance be on 8th Street because I travel that street quite a bit. It's primarily residential at the moment. Except
can I interrupt you, Ellen?
Sure.
Why do you travel it quite a bit? I'm kind of curious. That's kind of an odd little street to
I don't know. Because when I...
when you're coming from state, you go...
Let me think a minute. When I'm coming from 23, and I've been in Claverick, for example, I come down from where the hospital is on Columbia.
You don't make the early left. Okay.
And
smart
I turn
move.
Onto 8th Street to get to Warren Street.
Gotcha.
So I know that the street, there are a lot of stray cats on that street. I can testify.
There'll probably be more after the morning.
That's right. Wait till they hear the fish is on Friday.
They'll be there on
Friday. They'll be there.
Catholic fish.
And Sawsbeers, the awning people are there. And you also said to me at one point that you were going to be using the alley, portions of the alley, or you were going to have...
No, loading is going to be done on the alley.
There's a loading dock.
Right.
It won't interrupt Warren Street traffic.
Exactly.
Right.
Or even 8th Street traffic, for that matter.
You know, we looked at several buildings before we chose the Ackerman building. And the minute we were there, we knew it was right. And one of the reasons, and I think this is what I spoke to you about, was that we really like being on the upper part of Warren Street. It's very good for people to get in and out. So, you know, in terms of people who are making deliveries or also picking up things, that they can come right in, get what they need, and get right back, you know, onto a main road. And the fact that we have a loading dock on a prison alley just makes it function so nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But to answer your question, the reason that we wanted the... opening to be on 8th Street instead of Warren was simply a feeling of volume. And now with our discussions of with Bonfilio, they're actually going to take the whole front that's on Warren. That's going to be their restaurant. And so, but regardless of that, when you'll see a garage kind of loading dock on 8th Street.
Mm-hmm.
And when you enter the space from that position, the whole room opens up and you see it. Whereas when you enter from Warren Street.
Yes, I remember going to Ackerman's from Warren Street.
Yeah, it's darker. It doesn't feel the same. And at the end of the day, you know, this is a passion project. Howard will attest to the fact that neither of us know anything about groceries. We're the landlords, and we want to help nurture and grow small businesses. We're not in business. We're the landlords. So we're finding tenants is what we're doing, and we're going to nurture that process. But so, you know, as far as passion projects go, you get a feeling about the way you want your door, and that's the way it is.
So what is your background if you haven't been in the food business?
I have, right now I'm a real estate agent in New York City. I actually start in New York. Howard and I lived in the East Village in the 1980s, and I had a flower shop. And got very involved in event production and did that up until 2005 when we were both in a car accident. So we shifted professions. But both Howard and I have art degrees. And so we're creative people. We like to make things.
So does it, will it be that, okay, the Bonfilio section will be open at night. The rest shuts down. What is it, what each vendor, what do they do with their site at night? They just, I mean, how do they?
Depending on what their product is, there are walk-in coolers. So the farmers have their own. I actually got a grant for the farmers. And so the farmers have their own walk-in that'll be in the loading dock area. And
so they'll load and unload each day,
exactly
the, like they do at a farmer's market.
Yeah, and the fact is that different farmers might be bringing different things in, but a lot of vendors will be able to leave their things out. You know, if someone's selling spices or coffee beans or honeys or that can all stay out. And as I said before, we're going to work through as each customer, as each tenant comes, we'll figure it out for them. But there's plenty of space.
So that means you're not kind of like just going by what the going rate is for square footage on Warren Street?
No.
You're going to adjust it to whoever is coming in?
Well, obviously, the anchors who are investing into the building will get the best deal. Mm-hmm. And the pop-ups, if somebody wants to do a one-day pop-up, obviously, they'll be paying more per square, for that time. But it's really important. Look, we've lived here for so long. We know that it's dead, Tuesday through Thursday at the very best, right? And so, we want to obviously pay our bills, but we believe in Hudson, and we know that in 5 years' time, it'll be great. There'll be more people here working.
I know of a great community-based radio station that could use some space in the future.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey.
You'll have to have a food show.
Yeah. I guess the biggest problem there would be we need to be here till midnight.
And I can see from the signs that there's no food allowed in here.
Yeah. We'll change
right.
that.
That's right.
With the right rent, we'll do any whatever you ask. So of that 15,000 square footage, right?
Mm-hmm.
What percentage would you say is already accounted for? It's sort of semi-permanent, whatever.
I would say probably somewhere between 7,000 and 8,000.
Wow.
So you've got a ways to go.
Yeah, but it's the first floor, and we really haven't talked to anyone about the second floor yet because it's not, I don't want to get anything confused. I want to get my basics in, and we know it'll fill up. It's more about, we don't want to have a lot of duplicates. We want to make sure, and I personally believe that there'll probably be no less than 3 pop-up areas. And I'm a big fan of pop-ups. I think it's good for business. I think it keeps the place vital. And I know I'm helping my neighbors.
Well, you're certainly in an up-and-coming block there because of there are all those new galleries, and a lot has changed there in the last
yes,
year
I moved
or
into
two.
The neighborhood.
That's right. That's what brought it all. And WGXC, of
yes,
course,
is
here as well. So when do you think you'll actually be open for business? Any venturing any guess about that?
I would like to say that I'm fairly confident we'll be open this year, late in the year. And to your point about the changes on what is sometimes referred to as the East End of Warren Street, we're definitely lucky to be riding on many coattails of especially our neighbors, the Bonfilio Bakery and Crimson Sparrow. And, of course, Wasabi and Wonder Bar have been up there for a long time. What's interesting to us about the way the food scene has developed here in Hudson and has become such a draw in terms of tourism is that we have this incredible food scene in what's regarded as a food desert. So in some ways we're looking to merge those two worlds in our project.
What is the real definition of food desert?
I don't know.
Tom, do you know?
I don't know.
because I think it has to do with everyone having access to
exactly.
food.
Exactly. It actually has to do with everyone having access to fresh, healthy food. And access is by foot, interestingly enough. It's not about, you know, being able to drive. You know, we're not going to be able to compete with a Hannaford, and we're happy to have Hannaford to go to for, you know, our laundry products or whatever. I mean, I would love it if we got somebody who wanted to sell green cleaning products in our store, because I said food, but I'm really talking about house and home and taking, you know, being conscious of what we're, you know, what we're doing to the land around us. But we, as far as our location, we're very excited for the old Warren Inn to reopen. I want to know what happened to the shuffleboard because I tried to buy it from the ladies and they said the new owner wanted it. So we want that shuffleboard. We like playing there.
I still want to know where the sign is that said down below where, what's the name of the bar that's down there?
Iron Horse?
No. Way downtown. It used to be called the Tainted Lady.
Oh.
As you know, a sort of vestige of
there were a lot of them back
Hudson
in the day.
Used
yes,
to be.
Yeah.
So you.
I want to know if anybody's going to serve dollar beers anymore. That's gone now.
That's gone.
The two places that
serve. Pony. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you don't have plans to be a full service supermarket. You know.
No, you know, I think it's more about. What are is you know grown here locally, what people make out of it. Going back to what Howard said, you know, we definitely will have a charcuterie where you know hopefully different sausage makers will be represented. But you know, it'd be great to have a place where you could go in and get a like delicious dog, you know, with trimmings for lunch, you know, and walk out the door. And so, you know, yes, are there going to be, you know, cuts of meat that cost $17 a pound? There are, because as I've learned in talking to butchers, if you want healthy meat, it costs a lot to raise it. And so you have to respect that. But we're looking to create a place for local food vendors to have a place to sell directly to the public.
Well, I'm sure you've heard about there was an attempt to open. It was open, actually. I'm not sure how long. Maybe about a year, year and a half. I think they called it the Hudson River Supermarket. It's where music store is now. And they tried very hard to be all things to all people. And it was very unclear to the consumer, I think, exactly what the store was all about, because they were trying to have the kind of fresh produce and good meat and that sort of thing that you're talking about. At the same time, they had Cheerios and, you know, diapers and things of that sort. It did not succeed, but there are all kinds of reasons why or why not something succeeds. But
do you think you're going to end up poaching some of the specialty shops on Warren Street that are kind of priced out, going to be are feeling the pressure of the high rents on Warren?
Absolutely. And it's a funny thing because 2 years ago, I went to Providence for my goddaughter's graduation from Brown, and there was this fabulous olive oil and vinegar store. And I just had so much fun there. And I spoke to the guy and he was willing to, you know, I didn't want to have as much as he had, but I said, I'd love to feature like six oils and six vinegars. And I was going to make it part of the farm market. And then I saw that this lovely young woman had just opened up this shop. So I went, well, I'm not going to, you know, compete with her.
You mean the one in Hudson?
Yeah, on Warren Street. But, and I, to be honest with you, I don't know, I've only read about her, but it, since you're asking, in the back of my mind, I know she'll be my tenant.
Mm-mm.
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, when you hear the rents, Ellen, how they've gone up, the commercial rents on Warren Street, it's very hard to start, you know. While in Catskill, the local government there makes a huge effort to, you know, help people get started, free rent for a couple months. And, you know, as we talked in our first episode of this new series, we talked with Dan Seward, who opened his second bookstore over there. It's partly because, you know, they want stuff there. They want new small businesses there, and they're willing to go out of their way to help it. Warren Street's not in that situation anymore, and landlords have gotten a little bit out of control.
I'm nodding in agreement.
Yes, everybody can see that. Oh, wait, we're on radio.
And also, to your question, Tom, about how our business might affect other businesses in town. I mean, we felt from the beginning that we're more complementary than competitive in this sense. I mean, and it's funny. I mean, I'm sure as you well know, I mean, Hudson being incorporated as a city, it truly is one in the sense that we have micro neighborhoods every block in the mile-long stretch of Warren Street. I know people who live on Front Street who will get their bread at La Perche because they don't want to come all the way uptown to the East End, to Bonfilio. So I think all of these businesses complement each other, especially in terms of the amount of tourists they bring in. Our intent in no way is to put anyone out of business. It's just to add to the...
Sure. And I think weekenders in the county are much more likely to come into Hudson now than they probably were in the past, you know, where they would buy their stuff on the way up or before they came up. Now they know the things are here and will be.
Right. We haven't talked about parking. Do you think you obviously have some plan for parking or think it's not a problem? Or?
You know, I park across the street from Bonfiglio when I'm in a car and want to go to Bonfiglio. I'm not going to say what the place is, but no one's towing anybody from there.
They have a sign up, though.
Do you?
You have to have business there, too.
Well, but
it's closed.
So, like...
Well, at the moment, yeah.
You know, parking in general is...
Yeah.
Parking in general is a problem throughout Warren Street. I would imagine that when we're really busy, someone may have to circle the block, which is a city custom in terms of the sport of parking. In good weather, of course, there are municipal lots within walking distance. A day like today, you wouldn't want to take that hike. But irregardless, parking will be a challenge, as it is all over town. In a sense, you know, it's an indication of economic growth when you have to circle the block.
We do have a few ideas that we can work with some of our neighbors, but, you know, they're not solidified. But and the other thing is that we'd like to have some kind of a delivery system, maybe using high school kids from our local public high school to do afternoon deliveries. You know, we'd get bicycles with big kind of baskets. So, you know, I just, again, feel that the community will let us know what it needs. And, you know, Hudson is pretty notorious for having a lot of opinions. And we will read them all seriously and we'll, you know, see what we can, you know, how effective we can be from those comments. But we're here to be successful. And it's a collaboration with the town, with what the community wants. And I don't think we'll ever sell Cheerios, but I think that the future of every square inch of that store is yet to be determined.
Well, you know, all those opinions that people have come from the fact, I think, that this is a town of entrepreneurs. It was founded by entrepreneurs who came over from New England, that it continues to this day. And now Hudson has more self-employed people than any other municipal, any other city, I guess, is what they're comparing it with, in New York State. So there you go.
I love that. They've got a place to, you know, rent now too.
Right.
Would you welcome pop up like flea market type vendors?
No. No. No, because there's, you know, there's so much of that anyway. Mm. And, you know, kind of getting back to what you said earlier, I don't want to confuse shoppers. And so I think it's really got to be food and home centric. Now, Howard and I would love it if we could get, who's the knife guy, honey? Warren Cutlery. We'd love to be able to have someone like Warren Cutlery with a knife sharpener there so you could come in and bring your knives and have them sharpened. So that's kind of the direction that we're looking at in terms of things that might be dry goods but are important, or a great cobbler. If anybody knows a cobbler.
We need that.
We really do.
And a dry cleaner. I don't know if that fits in with...
No, that's a whole... No. Yeah, that's chemical craziness.
There must be something that isn't...
Yeah, but it takes up a lot of space to do.
All right, bad idea.
It's all right, Ellen.
So what have we left out here? What else can you tell us about your plans?
Will there be other places... I mean, Bonfilio will be the restaurant. Will there be other places to eat?
Well,
I mean, say, for example, like a typical food truck from the region, if they wanted to set up a little outpost, would that be possible? Or
what we were thinking was that, number one, Bonfilio has the exclusive for breakfast and dinner. They do not have an exclusive for lunch. There will be some form of a caterer or deli because, as we all know, the weekend community is really detrimental to the success of any business in Hudson. So if someone wants to call that person and say, hey, I'm having 8 people for dinner, this is what I need. I need, you know, 7 pounds of this and that and whatever. And we'll try to also create a basket program so that people can call in and say, from, you know, an order from our separate vendors, and we'll package it all together in a basket so that people can just come, pick up their order, you know. The charcuterie and certainly the deli prepared food. And there could be pop-ups for sure who are doing, you know, we could have, you know, Wednesdays is burrito day. Right. I don't know.
Is Bonfilio moving its entire operation into the building?
Right now, they still have a lease next door, so I think that and we have not finalized with them. Right. We're getting pretty close.
I guess what I'm saying, would the bake shop be separate from the restaurant?
No, eventually everything will be in our building.
So the Warren Street side in the picture I saw had windows, I believe. Mm-hmm. And do you look in on, what do you look in on?
The restaurant would be there.
The restaurant.
The restaurant, which would be open in the morning for breakfast.
Yeah.
I see.
But from Warren Street, when you look in, you will be able to see through most of the restaurant into the market. It's not separated. As Chaz was saying earlier, there are fire doors that will be closed at night, but those doors have lots of glass in them as well. So the thing we love the most about the building is the way it was built. I mean, it was built as a garage, so there's a lot of open space on each floor, and we'd like to retain that character in the market as much as possible.
Was it a car dealership, or
no? Originally, they actually did coachwork, which was the finishing of the automobile, the interiors, the exteriors in the building. And they would sell them there as well. But as it all went bust like 1929, 1930. And we were surprised because we excavated about 2 feet of clay out of the basement to enlarge it. And surprisingly, we found no bodies.
Hmm. By the way, if someone is listening to this and wants to contact you about being a possible vendor, how do they get in touch with you?
HudsonAnchor@gmail.com.
There you go. HudsonAnchor@gmail.com. Don't forget that, Ellen.
I won't forget it.
Because I know you're thinking of a little candle business, aren't you? No?
No.
You always told me that was your dream.
No, I'm going to be the folk singer in the corner. Thank you so much for coming
in.
Thanks. This has been really great.
We all look forward to it.
Thank you. I mean, you're doing a great service here because people have been very curious, and we haven't really talked to anyone. This is our first PR move.
Okay. This will be on the website in our archive.
Great.
That's right.
And you can send them there, and we'll send them to hudsonanchor@gmail.com.
Excellent.
Wonderful.
Thanks a lot. Remind our audience who we've been talking to.
We've been talking to Chaz Levy and Howard Crouch, who are going to be opening the Hudson
Anchor. Sounds like a leather goods company, Levy and Crouch, doesn't it?
That's
good. Sorry.
Okay.
I think it was Crouch and Fitzgerald.
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Crouch and Fitzgerald. Well,
right.
Ellen, another edition, another segment of your ongoing series. What's
about
it called?
About changes in Hudson. It doesn't have a name.
I thought it had a name.
Well,
when I said Hudson Change last time, you corrected me.
Hudson, what did you say?
Hudson what? I don't know. Changes in Hudson.
Changes.
Hudson is a changing.
We'll think about it.
Hudson is a changing.
Stay tuned.